morning, church. Are you ready? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. So I felt the Lord leading today to ask us, what is your focus? What's your focus? And you know, when you start asking these questions and you start really looking at what we focus on, if we're willing, the Lord will help us to change our focus. Because what does he want us to focus on? Him. Him. Because I'm going to say this over and over again, but it is all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And that's where our focus should be. So in today's culture, let's be honest, people are consumed with self, right? Social media drives it. The media drives it. Our culture drives it. Everything is about me and what can you do for me and how can I make me better or me. It's all about self. And it is affecting not only the world, but it's affecting the church, right? Because it's like a deception. And if we're not careful, we fall into that deception and it's slow, slow, slow. And then suddenly, there we are, right? I know, like, I'm not very good at taking selfies. So, you know how kids are always taking selfies and I try to take a selfie and it's all crazy. And my kids are like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. But, you know, selfies are everywhere. And it's all about, like, how many likes did I get on Facebook? And how many people liked my Instagram post or whatever else is out there for social media stuff. And honestly, it's not about that. And in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it speaks about how people will be in the last days. And the first thing that's mentioned is that people will be lovers of self, right? So what happens is the more focused we are on self, the less we look to God, right? Because it's a distraction. And it gets obscured. Our vision gets obscured. And, you know, this self movement has been a massive distraction. I mean, we see it like with, I have to self-promote, self-help, selfish behaviors. Rebellion is selfish, right? And just a huge rise in self-centeredness. Have you talked to some people and you're like, are you seriously that self-centered? Am I right? And let's not just look at everybody else. We gotta look at ourselves too. Make sure that we're not being that way. So it not only affects the world, like I said, but it affects the church. And when we're so self-focused, we miss God. And we miss what he has for us to do. You were born for a reason. You were born on the day you were born in this time, in this century, at this point in history for a purpose. If he wanted you born sometime else, that's when you would have been born. But he chose you to be born now, in this time. So that means he has something special for you to do in this time. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on him and say, Lord, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? And like Ralph was saying, let's get the gospel spread. Let's get out of here. Right? You know what I mean? So we gotta be searching God for that. So first we're gonna talk about the yucky things that self-focus does, and then we're gonna talk about the great things that God does. So what are some of the effects of being so self-focused in our own lives? Depression, stress, worry, hopelessness, bitterness, jealousy, envy, anger. How about we're offended easily? Or we don't see ourselves as God truly sees us. Do you know that we're not who we think we are? We're who God says we are, right? It's what he says. And then we see a rise in selfishness. People are conceited, rebellious. Have you watched the news at all? Or heard what's going on in the world and in our country? It's all driven by self. Right? The love for money, just everything going on. It's all based in self. And it's if all these people, if every government official had their eyes focused on Jesus, our country would not even be close to where it is right now. Amen? Amen. And when we see these circumstances or the things going on in our lives or the things we're dealing with, and it's not that what we're dealing with, we need to deal with them. I'm not saying that if you're focusing on God, you'll never have a problem in your life, because that's not true. But by our focusing on the Lord, we're going to see how he helps us through it, right? And because you know what? With the circumstances we see, a lot of times when we're so self-focused, we see them as bigger than God. But here's the truth. God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than anything that is named. Amen? Amen. It doesn't matter what it is that's going on. God has a solution. God is the solution. And he is bigger, better, greater than all of those things. So we need to shift our focus to him. And then he helps us get through all the stuff. All right? So let's look at, why are we self-focused? These are just a couple things that I came up with. Number one, we're allowing ourselves to be inspired by the self-centeredness around us. Like, well, I'm not inspired by that. That's terrible. But we can be. We can be, right? We're allowing ourselves to be distracted and therefore shifting our focus from God to the things of the world, okay? Here's the reality. The world is on fire, right? People are going to hell. We have the answer. We have the solution for them. We know Jesus Christ died on that cross, rose again from the dead. He is a gift to humanity for salvation. We know this. We need to tell them. Amen? Amen? We need to tell them. All right. So the second thing would be, we're giving our time, attention, and affections to the things of the world and not to God. Right? Coming to church on Sunday is super awesome. Glad you're all here. Going to men's group, going to women's group, going to prayer, going to Bible study, all great things necessary for your spiritual development. You also know need to be spending time at home with the Lord one-on-one every day. Every day. Because the world is like crazy, and when you're with God, that's where you're building your relationship with him. That's when you're building your trust with him. People let you down. God will never, ever, ever let you down. It's impossible. He can't do it, right? So we need to be spending time with him. Sometimes past hurts will cause us to be self-focused, right? We build walls because we don't want somebody to hurt us again. And I'm not saying you should let people hurt you again, but we need to move past the walls and there not allow what has happened to us in our lives affect our relationship with God, because God didn't do those things to us, right? He didn't, but he can help you take what would be tragedy and make it something beautiful, right? Beauty for ashes. God is like the most amazing one at doing that. Sometimes you look, some people say, and I've heard different testimonies, their lives were a disaster, and God turned it around, and now they are mightily working in the kingdom of God and preaching and teaching Jesus wherever they go. God rescued them, and he wants to rescue us. Sometimes we do it as a defense mechanism. Okay, some of y'all know this if you come to women's group. Driving on the roads is super annoying to me, okay? And sometimes you find yourself, because people, when they drive, are selfish, right? They don't care what's going on. They're cutting you off. They're driving super slow in the left lane. Just for, like, information, the left lane of the highway is for passing only. You pass, and you move back into the middle or the right lane. That's how that's how it works. But they just go exactly the speed limit in the left lane, block traffic for miles, because somebody is just not unwilling to move, right? It's selfishness. So then what happens? You drive more aggressively because you're trying to get around them, and it just like one thing escalates to the other. Instead of people just being considerate of others and doing the right thing, it would just make things so much more peaceful, right? So sometimes those types of things inspire us to be a little bit more selfish or whatever. But we can guard against that, you know? Take deep breaths. Okay, Lord, I need this car to move. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they need you. I pray for them, and I pray they move their car to the proper lane for their travel. Because let me tell you, it just makes you all stressed out. You just need to remain peaceful, right? And in Matthew 6:33, the fourth thing could be, we're not seeking God first, right? So the Bible says, and Ralph just said it, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What are all the things? All the promises in the scripture, the promises of God. He's so faithful, and he wants to do those things. We just have to let him. We have to let him. So here's some examples of people in the scripture who sought self instead of seeking God. There's a couple, because there's so many. Adam and Eve, we'll just start with them. They're the reason we're having to talk about these things. Because they desired knowledge and power over what God said. Selfish, right? Cain and Abel. Instead of rejoicing with Abel about his blessings, Cain became jealous and he murdered him, right? Lot's wife. She had such a strong affection for the things of the world that she turned around and was turned into a pillar of salt instead of looking at God who was rescuing them from destruction, right? King Saul. He was chosen by God, but then he turned his face from God and chose to look at seek the counsel of wicked people, right? And he didn't do as God commanded, and he was ultimately destroyed because of that. King Ahab and Jezebel, they're just terrible, terrible, terrible people. No question, right? Terrible people. They had no affections for God. How about Judas Iscariot? He was willing to betray Jesus for coins, right? And then how about Lucifer, right? He decided he was going to assert his five I wills, if you look it up in the scripture, and he was going to be greater than God, and it caused him to be cast out of perfection, and now he dwells in hell, right? So these are just some of the things. Here's some people who sought God instead of themselves in the scripture. One, Moses. We're going to talk about Moses in just a second. Joseph. Right? Joseph sought God through all the things he had happened to him. He went from the pit, literally, to the palace. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. He became second in command to the most powerful man on the known world at that time, to Pharaoh, right? Because he kept his focus on God. Through everything he did, he kept his focus on God. David, King David, before he was king, he was focused on God. He had a little lapse of time, did a couple bad things, caused someone to be murdered. That's very bad. Don't do that. But then he repented, and he turned back to God. And he gave us some of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible, right? Look at the book of Psalms. I mean, it's remarkable. How about John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist led his whole life with his face turned towards the Savior. How about the disciples, right? They made mistakes. People make mistakes. This is not like, hey, you're going to do this and you're never going to make a mistake again. The idea is, let's just keep our focus on the Lord. Paul, first he started off as Saul. He was persecuting Christians, having them jailed and killed, and then he became the Apostle Paul, and he gave us so much wisdom from God in the New Testament that we can see the heart of God that Paul wrote for us. And how about Jesus? Amen, right? He's the ultimate example, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more. Because remember, it's all about Jesus. Everything is about him. Everything. So if you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. And it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he raised in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. It's a translation, so you don't necessarily, I wouldn't suggest like studying from it, but sometimes translations give us really great insight into things. And it says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church, because God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it. Is that amazing? That's incredible. That is, you know what's so cool about that? Well, there's a lot of cool things about that. But one is that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we became complete because he completed us. Right? Every single person who is not saved is walking around this earth not complete, because there's a God-shaped hole missing God. Right? So they fill it with all different things the best that they can, but they're never going to really feel completed until they accept Jesus as their Savior. But then you know what God says? He says, okay, I've completed you now. Now join my body and help complete me. That's amazing that God would want us to be a part of him like that. Right? That's amazing. And in Colossians 1:18, it says Christ is the head of the church. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about that we're the body and Christ is the head. So Christ is the head of all the things. So let's put our focus on Jesus. Now, Jesus called us out to be separate. He doesn't want us blending in with the world. Don't be obnoxious and one of those weirdo Christian people. But he doesn't want us to just go with the flow and oh, if it's good for you, it's fine. Listen, God gave specific instructions in the Bible for a reason. He doesn't say, yo, you can't do that because I don't want you to have any fun. He says, I don't do that because it will destroy you. Right? He's a father. He wants the best things for his children. He's not like, okay, go live life for a while, see how it happens. He's like, no. That's not the best life. Your best life is when you're following Christ. Right? Because when you are in the center of God's will, that is the safest place for you to be on earth. Amen? Amen. So we have to remember that God doesn't say don't do this and don't do that because he just wants to be like, you know, a grumpy person. It's because he's like, no. I love you. That's why I don't want you to do it. I know what's going to happen if you do. He sees all things, right? So how many things are we spared from when we choose to listen to the voice of God? And then if you look up, we don't have to read it right now, but John 17:14-7, Jesus prays to the Father. It's Jesus is praying, and he prays for us. And he says to us through this prayer, but to the God, they're in the world, but they're not of the world, right? We're called out to be separate from the world. We should look differently than the rest of the world looks, because we carry something they need, and we should be a shining example of the goodness of God, so people are drawn to Jesus, not us. It's not about us. It's about him. We should be drawing people to him, right? Amen? All right. So turn, if you would, to Exodus 33, and we're going to talk a little bit here quickly about Moses. And starting in verse 13, it says, now therefore I pray, if I have found... So Moses is speaking to God on the mountain. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, verse 18, listen to it. And he said, Moses speaking, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses, at this point, is not asking for God to do anything for him, to give him something. He is asking God to show him his glory. He is asking God to reveal his presence to him. Is that our heart's cry? Lord, reveal your presence to me. Amen. He wanted to experience God in a way he had never experienced him before. And God honored Moses' request and showed him himself. Now, he couldn't show him his fullness because Moses would have just dropped down dead, because that's not possible at that time. But now he's saying, he's showing God, he's showing Moses honor in his request and honoring Moses for that. And God wants to show us his glory. He does. I mean, we see it all around us, right? I mean, creation just exudes the glory of God, right? The earth is tipped at just the right angle, spinning at just the right speed, with the planets just right around the sun. Like, all God, that's glory. Amen? Amen? Because he knows what he's doing. And what his glory does is it changes us from the inside out. God wants us to change. He doesn't want us stuck in the same old stuff. He wants to bring us from glory to glory to glory, right? Because he's calling for a church, a bride that is spotless. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No. But he's looking for people willing to do what he's asking them to do. He's looking for people who will put him first in their lives, and then the rest will come from that. Amen? So when Moses asked to see God's glory, he was asking to see all of God, right? God's glory carries with it all of his attributes. Some of his attributes are his love, which is, he is love. That's what he is. His character, his goodness, his grace, his mercy. All those things Moses was asking to see. And you know, when you get to heaven, the scripture says that heaven is really illuminated, not with a sun, but by glory. God's glory lights heaven. It's the air that they breathe in heaven. So honestly, if we have loved ones who have gone ahead of us and gone home to be with the Lord, I mean, they're like breathing glory. How amazing is that? Really, we should just be jealous of them. But don't go yet. It's not your time. So what was the effect? So if we just stay there, just move over a couple of verses to Exodus 34, 29 to 35. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all the Lord had spoken to him and on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses. The glory was so strong upon Moses after he had spent time with God that the people could visually see it. Yeah. Right? They could visualize. There's so much that I can preach from these scriptures right here. But the people could visually see that he had spent time with God. I want that. Amen? I want people to be like, hey, have you been spending time with God? You have this glow about you. Yes, I have, right? Not for myself, because when you're just spending time in the presence of God, it just fills you to overflowing. You know, God reveals his glory to us, not for his good, but for ours, right? We need to see his glory. He knows about his glory, right? He wants it for us. And every act of heaven reveals God's glory. Just a couple of scriptures are Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare it. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. New life, babies, newborn babies born is a demonstration of God's glory. You are all a demonstration of God's glory. The fact that you are breathing right now is God's glory. Amen? Amen. So everything Jesus did revealed God's glory. I mean, he's our example. He's our ultimate example. And it's all about Jesus, right? So Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what are we supposed to do? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Amen. Everything he did, and he revealed God's glory. Everything he did. From the time when he was learning and growing and learning the scriptures as a child, to his ministry of when he launched out in his ministry and he was healing people and setting people free, to his death, burial, and resurrection. Does that not speak of the glory of God? Amen. We don't have a dead Savior. Right? We have an alive Savior. Our Savior is not dead. Other religions' main guy is dead. Yeah. Dead. No more. At least on earth. But in eternity, they are still for somewhere. It's just not in heaven with God, which is what God wanted for them. But we have an alive Jesus. Our Jesus is alive. So when we're talking to Jesus, we're not talking to like, you know, some sort of like, woo. Thing, like, I'll talk to him and hope that it works out. No. You're talking to Jesus. You're talking to Jesus. The Jesus. The only Jesus. Amen? And even into his ascension, he was revealing the glory of God. And here's what Jesus did. The entire time he was on the earth, he kept his focus on the Father. The entire time. Even in the garden, when he said, if it be your will, have this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done, right? Jesus focused on the face of the Father his entire time, and that's where he drew his strength from. He spent time with the Lord. He spent time with his Father. Remember, he was a man, and he did man things. We talked about this a little bit yesterday at women's group. He had to rest. He had to eat. He had to do the things that we have to do here. And he spent time with the Father, a lot of time with the Father. In Hebrews 1:1-4, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed, here's God, here's Jesus, head of all things. Remember, it's all about Jesus. He was appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus reflected the glory of God while he was on this earth. Right? People chose not to see it. That's up to them. But that doesn't mean that's not what Jesus was doing. Right? You understand. So there's people, we can reflect God's glory. If somebody doesn't want to accept the gift that Jesus has given him, that's up to them. And that's very, very, very unfortunate. But Jesus reflected the glory of God. We need to be reflectors. You know, sun reflectors, S-O-N. We need to be reflectors of the sun. We need to show Jesus to others in the ways we work, speak, act. All those things should reflect the sun. As professing Christians, we should be exemplifying and showing the world what it looks like to be a true Christian. Well, let me tell you, watching the news the other day, this person who needs Jesus, really, says she was a Christian. Please don't say that, because you do not exemplify Christ at all, right? We know people like this, so we don't want to be this way. We want to truly show what Christ looks like to the unsaved people. Turn to Romans 11. We just have a couple more things. Romans 11, 36, and then we'll read from through 12, 1 and 2. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, right? Be called out or called out, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word transformed there is where the same Greek word, like where we get the word metamorphosis from. And it's like what a caterpillar goes through, right? A caterpillar does all his things, goes into the cocoon, spends a while in there, but he comes out completely different than when he went in. And it's not necessarily an easy process, because if you open the cocoon while the caterpillar's turning into a butterfly, you ruin it for him, and he can't keep going, right? So it's a hard process, but when he comes out on the other side, my goodness, is he beautiful and change. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to change. He wants to change our heart, because it's from our heart that we live our lives, right? So from the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. So where's our heart? We all need heart transplants, right? We all do. Let's be honest. No one here is perfect. Not even one person. And but it's a continual process. God's not expecting change all at once. He's like, hey, come to me. I'm going to help you through this. And then we'll go work on the next thing, right? Because he's wanting us to go from glory to glory. He wants growth in his children. Nobody wants their child to stay a child. I mean, they're cute. And when they get older, you're like, oh, I miss that phase. But some of the parts of the phases we don't really miss. Right? So God is like, yep, come on, time to grow up. Let's do this thing. So here's what happens when we turn our focus to Jesus, when we look at his face instead of ourselves. Number one, when we focus on God, we keep him exalted in his proper place, right? Because it's all about Jesus, right? And this helps keep the distractions, the cares of the world, our worries, our stress, all those things, and their proper place. And where is that proper place? Beneath the feet of Jesus. That's where all those things belong, right? And what happens is we get out of his way, right? Ralph was demonstrating, like, God is waiting back here to move and to do stuff, but he needs us to ask. But he needs us to get out of the way. We need to be praying and seeking the Lord so that God can do all the things that he wants to do. We have ideas and we try to help him, but ultimately he already knows the things and he appreciates your help, but sometimes we just need to move and let God work and be listening to what he has to say. Number two, we hear his voice more easily and more readily, right? His voice is still and it's small and it's And it requires us to really be focusing in to hear him. The world is loud and obnoxious and fully distracting, but the Lord is not obnoxious, right? He's peaceful, he's quiet, and he brings rest. Turn to Psalm, if you have your Bible, it's Psalm 37. This is a fabulous psalm. Okay, they all are. I got sidetracked so many times studying. Oh, that's really good. Come back, focus. We're trying to make a message here. So when we are focusing on God, we're able to do what God has for us to do. Because we're focusing on the one who's giving us the plan, right? And he's never, ever, 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 ever going to lead us down the wrong path. We take wrong paths, but God's direction doesn't bring us down wrong paths. So if we look at this psalm, and it's a psalm of David, thank God for David. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. Verses 23 through 25, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And good can be righteous there. God's not talking to all people here. He's talking to his people. So unsaved people have good things happen to them, but they can't say that God's going to bless what they're doing if they don't know him, right? Because this is for the righteous. And we have been made righteous by one way only, by the blood of the Lamb. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. And then verses 39 and 40 say, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. Amen. So, we also, when we turn our focus to the Lord, we can, and we do experience supernatural peace. It is an amazing gift that God gives us. When it is fully chaotic and the world is going crazy, and you could be like, God's got this. I'm resting in my God. He's good. And the next one is we can experience rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? Amen. And we also get the gifts of the Spirit. They grow and mature in us. The minute you become saved, the gifts of the Spirit, which are found in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, those are imparted into us. They come with the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, right? We get saved. But now we need to grow and mature those fruits, right? And how does that happen? When we're looking at Jesus, right? And we're also quicker to prayer. Let's be real. A lot of times prayer is our last resort. I'll figure this out. I can got this. I'll do this. I'll do that. Prayer should be our first thing that we do. Anytime anything comes up, we should go to prayer first. Amen. Amen? And then we find that we're not affected like we once were by the things that used to bother us so easily. Right? We don't get so easily offended. Things you just see growth when you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that used to bother me. That doesn't bother me anymore. Why? Because the Lord just kind of takes care of those things. He just takes care of those things. Because what we're focusing on what matters. We're focusing on Jesus. He matters. It's all about him. It's always, always, always about Jesus. Amen. So how do we do this? Number one, we spend time in the Word. We have to get to know him. And he is not a God who like wants us to, who is like a mystery. He tells us who he is right here in his word, right? He wants us to know him. He wants us to be in relationship. He wants, the creator of the universe wants to be in a relationship with you, right? No other God says this. It's all about them, and then you're like the servants. No. God wants relationship. It says that we are friends of God. Friends of God. God. This is my favorite analogy, and I've said it before, and I'll say it 100 million more times. The God, it says in Psalm 33, I think it is, or 35, that he holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. That's how big God is. And he's like, yeah, come run into my throne room. Let's talk. Let's sit down. Let's be friends. I want a relationship with you. That's a gift and a privilege. We should never take that lightly. We should never take that lightly. The deeper the relationship with God, the deeper our trust goes. right? When you start a relationship with somebody, it's kind of like you're learning each other, but the deeper that relationship goes, the deeper your trust. I've been married for almost 30 years to my husband. I trust him implicitly. We have developed this trust over the course of all these years, right? And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Number two, you want to spend time in prayer. That's important. You got to be talking to God. And you can be reading your Bible, you can be studying the Word and talking to the God at the same time. You can talk to God when you're driving down the road. You can talk to God under your breath when you're at work and people are being super duper annoying. You can talk to God then, right? You can talk to God anytime, anywhere, any place you are. Doesn't matter. You can talk to God because we have open communication with Him. We are invited into His throne room anytime we want, any day of the week, any time of day. We are welcomed to come in. The veil was torn, and now we can go. We just have to know Jesus, right? Amen? Amen. You might have to limit your time spent on things that are super distracting for you. Like maybe turn off the news. Turn off social media. Or just limit it. I'm not saying that you can't watch it or see it at all, but if it's consuming your time, you need to, and you're not giving enough time to the Lord, figure out what's consuming your time that you're not able to give to God and eliminate it or just lessen it, right? It could be anything. It can be, let me tell you, you get on your phone and you're watching those little videos of cats. You're like, these are great. And then an hour and a half later, you're like, oh my gosh, my dinner burned. I've been watching cat videos. And they're funny, but like, we got to take control of that and be like, okay, we'll watch two and we're done. We got to spend time with other believers because iron sharpens iron always. So if you have opportunity to make it to church on Sunday, obviously you're here. If you can make it to women's group, if you can make it to men's group, if you can make it to, oh, there it is, or Bible study, make time. Spend time with friends outside of church. Get together. Just hang out. Meet at a park. Go for a walk. Just be together and sharpen each other's iron, right? We have to be willing and humble and willing to hear correction and make changes. Sometimes we don't see what we're doing because we're doing it. Somebody brings it to our attention. We got to be willing to make the changes. We're still going to have trials, and we're still going to have stuff. I mean, Jesus says, in this world you will have trials, but be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the world. It's like, okay, God tells us to be cheerful. Okay, thanks for this trial. But we know we want to get through the trials. We want to come out stronger, more mature on the other side. Amen. And then when you've gone through something, you can help somebody else going through that trial. This is where we need to be in fellowship with one another. Because if I've gone through it, I can help you going through it. And then you can help somebody else. And then you can help somebody else, right? This is what God wants, a building of unity in the body of Christ to sharpen each other's iron. We got to do this. We need God first. Obviously, our face has to be fixed on the face of Jesus, and then we work together as the body of Christ to help each other in this journey, right? So when we're looking at Jesus' face, He's going to give us the guidance that we need and the wisdom we need to navigate life. He will, because He wants us to be successful in life, whatever that success is. So in conclusion here, let's shift our focus from self to Christ. Let's keep Him as the number one in our lives, and let's see what He's going to do. Amen. Let's rely on Him for anything and everything that we need. He told us that He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, right? You need healing, He's Jehovah Rapha. Your healer, right? He is all of the things. Let's do these things and let's see His glory revealed. He wants to show Himself, right? It's because of Him that we live and move and have our being. Reminds me of a song from the 80s that we used to sing back in the day. But it's because of him that we work, that we can work, that we can play, that we can create, that we can inspire, that we can encourage others, that we can love, that we can be loved. It's because of him that we can do anything and everything that we're able to do. It's because of him, right? So let's pursue him. Let's pursue him. Let's ask the Father to show us his glory like Moses did. Amen. Let's be reflectors of the sun, and let's may our faces shine with the glory of God. Amen. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334. Or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.